Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
And I really believe what we were talking yesterday about the power of God, that the kingdom of God is not about mere talk, but it's about power. And though the words are true, people need evidence of the power of God when you're ministering to him. If Jesus said, God in the flesh, if he said, if you don't believe what I'm saying, at least believe the evidence of the miracles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if God said that and he wasn't offended that that had to happen, who were we to even say, you know, need some evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's just, here we are, that the power of God being poured out from believers, when we realize that the kingdom of God is within us and we just step out by faith, and we're going to talk about today, you know, the regrets of living safe. It's the opposite happens in your life. And that it has to be loosed from inside of you. The kingdom has to be loosed and carried. I mean, think, this is how humble God is. This is this awesome God who could just, you know, move his finger and wipe us out. But he's madly in love with us. And he's making himself known to us if we'll listen. And he wants to forgive us. That here he was, he loved us and he wanted to have a relationship with us. But the only way that could happen is if he offered up his own son. So he sends his son, who was born of a virgin, to live and walk on this earth for 33 years. He lived, he ministered. He did all these signs, wonders, and miracles and everything we read in the Gospels and the powerhouse ministry of Jesus. And then he dies, he's raised from the dead, and he's with the Father now. But he leaves that in the hands of men to write about it.
Mm.
You know, most of us will go, well, let me write the book, because you're not going to get this right. Your viewpoint is going to be totally different. And God, the creative universe, who's holding everything together, said, or didn't, by his actions, okay, you just observe what I'm saying and doing and write about it. Mm-hmm. Of course, it was under the unction of the Holy Spirit.
Sure.
But we still can mess that up. I don't know if y'all noticed that or not.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, an unction means, you know, Brother King used to tell me, it means God grabbing you by the scruff of the neck and telling you got to go. And, but entrusted to men, the gospel of salvation, to write about it, to communicate to us, that this is how it happened. I mean, is that why? Because he says, you know, very specifically that you know, that you, I don't testify about myself, he said. I mean, he says, I think it's in John chapter 5, verse 31 to 32, he says, if I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is valid. But you think about it. He could have written 1,000 books, you know. He could have just like, okay, typewriters aren't invented yet, but we're going to have a pop in a word processor, whack this thing out. Or he could have just told some angels, type it up, get it done, mm-hmm. get it to them. Sort of like the Mormons think it happened, you know, the Egyptian golden tablets. And, but he didn't. He didn't do that. And because and today everybody's about self-promotion. They're trying to promote themselves. And they're trying to network and promote themselves. And it's all about the only person that's given a witness of them is them. And it's like, you know, show me some evidence. I know that you clicked and said that, you know, you're on Facebook, you said you're friends, but are you really friends? I mean, can they testify about your life?
Mm.
This is what I used to say in the sheriff's department when I was a deputy, was that, you know, that you want to be able to, you got to have witnesses that know your life. Mm-hmm. That can testify about your character and all that, because you're constantly being put on a witness stand and all that. And we're working with men, and we'd always say, listen, is there enough? Do you have enough friends in your life to carry your casket? It takes 6 pallbearers to be able to carry a casket. Can you name 6 people mm-hmm. today that would carry your casket?
Outside of your friends, outside of your family.
Outside the obligatory crew.
Right.
Yeah, gotta carry it.
Yeah.
And think about it, that there should be people that you're living your life around that can testify that you know, you're a talker or a walker. I mean, it's doing the same situation. And Jesus didn't even testify of himself. He said, if I, in another part he talks about, he says, if I did testify, it'd be accurate, but I'm not going to do it. He let God do it and he let men do it. And God did it through his spirit, giving these men an unction, you know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, four men.
All right.
You know, I think I was, oh my goodness, you know.
Amazing.
And so I just want to encourage you to embrace humility. Embrace humility and live your life in such a way. Let God be the one that that promotes you. He is, that's where promotion comes from. And be okay with being, you need to be low anyway. Keep your head low and Lord high. But understand, you don't want to be promoted before your time. It could cost you your head. I mean, think about this. God is working individually in everyone's lives. And he has an orchestra he's playing, and you need to play your flute or your saxophone at the same time. When he says now, that's when you play it. You don't, you got a saxophone, you just don't start riding over everybody else. You start messing up the orchestra. Mm-hmm. But understand, it might not make sense, but God could have somebody that he has doing something that they will do that in the season for, you know, 2 or 3 years, 10 years or a decade. And all of a sudden that will be over. He says, now it's time. And then he would just loose that next gift on the body and in the world. And Joseph proves that when you look at Joseph's life. I mean, Joseph, he was just faithful to his father and doing what he was told. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, he heard the voice of God. It just rocked the world. It changed everything. He heard the voice of God. God spoke to him in his sleep. Mm-hmm. And he was pumped about it. And I don't know if he shared it too soon.
A little too pumped about it.
Yeah, I guess, you know. And brothers don't like to hear, oh, you'll be bowing down to me. You know, and needless to say, what they meant for evil, God worked it out for good. But it does make you wonder, you know, could the journey been different? And or when Paul, I mean, think about Paul, when he was talking about humility, understanding even in all that, God spoke to Joseph. And it looked like, wow, this thing's going to happen. But then there was a whole process that he had to trust God in as he was going through that. And at just the right time, when he didn't even want it, he was promoted to the second, basically president of Egypt. And he was running Egypt. Yeah. And that'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Today, he's like, man, we sure need a Christian over Egypt. Yeah. A Jew.
That'd be good.
A Jew was the president of Egypt.
Yeah.
That's what happened. A Jew was president of Egypt. And they knew he was a Jew.
Yeah.
And promoted him there. And you can so understand that Jesus trusted the Father and allowed him to testify of Jesus and his spirit, you know, to give people drawings and unctions to begin to write and recall and all that. And it's like, think about this. How much easier it's going to be for you when you stop promoting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have so much free time to be able to minister and love but it's just amazing. I just want to encourage you today. I mean, that's just amazing to me that God, the creator, you understand everything you see and don't see, he created, sent his son. So here he's this huge price he's giving for us, this huge price Jesus is laying down for us, but he leaves it in the hands of men to write about it.
Also humility, when you think about it, I mean, it can teach so many of us, right?
Right.
In the church at large, you see a lot of people just looking for prominence and stage, and it's like, Jesus wasn't even concerned about it. I mean, that's just kind of just, that's mind-boggling that the Son of God would come and the importance of what he did on the face of this earth and what he did for us as mankind, and he didn't even write it dead. Yeah. He allowed the ones he was ministering to.
For 3 years.
Three years to write it.
Yeah.
You know, of course, in the unction of the Holy Spirit, like we said, but still, I mean,
well, we can mess that up. We've proven that's possible to have the unction of the Holy Spirit and mess that up.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, Lord, forgive. We will never bring ourselves up. Lord, it's like, wait a minute. That
right.
Is just...
And the whole thing is that we are into promotion, but it's not self-promotion. It's a promotion of Jesus and his kingdom.
Yes.
And somebody, you know, says, well, you know, you're real aggressive about it. Yeah. There's going to be a day we're going to face God. We want that's what we're supposed to be doing. Not we're supposed to be denying ourselves and promoting Jesus.
That's
you know,
right?
That's right.
We have all those talents, but they're not to be used on us. They're to be used on advancing the kingdom of God. And just amazing. Just I want to encourage you. I mean, if God entrusted men to write down his message to us, I mean, think about that. That's amazing. No videos, no pictures. I mean, men they're gonna write it down.
Mm-hmm. Scratch it out.
And the amazing thing is how accurate they were when they wrote it. But he still entrusted men, flawed men, to be able to, men that he just had to give his son so they could be in relationship with, men that needed a savior, men that were fallen. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They weren't like Jesus. And so it's just amazing to me, you know, when God's just revealing that to me, just like, wow. I mean, you know, obviously Pat trusts God like that, but you know, we got to really just kind of let it go, right?
That's right.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
The eyes of the world are watching. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Christians ought to live what we believe, but that's not always the case in our marriages. Here's Francis Chan with an observation about letting God's power shine in our relationships.
Look at the average, you know, married Christian couple. I mean, how is it supernatural? I could probably show you plenty of unbelieving couples that are just as happy, just as loving towards their kids, but they're not seeing the supernatural works of the Holy Spirit, and that's what's undeniable. And when they see that, then they're more apt to listen to your message.
Maybe Francis Chan's words are a bit challenging for you. There's no doubt that God designed marriage to be a showcase for His power and His love at work. You'll find encouragement to have a thriving relationship at focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
You know, John, I have been so encouraged listening to you and sharing your stories about Elijah and Isaiah and Maya, and how you got to spend time with them at one of their baseball games, how encouraged they were with the fact that you were just simply there. Your presence, just being with them, encouraged them. Tell me about that.
Well, that's cool, man. I can understand what you're saying, because yeah. I feel that way when I know that God is near me.
Yeah.
You know, when I have a relationship with him and I know that he's present, he's not far away.
Mm-hmm.
He's not too far that is, you know, he can't reach out to me, not too far that his eyes are not always on me. And maybe you are listening today and you wish that you had a father to be in your life, or you wish that somebody was there to watch you. I want to tell you that you're not alone. Many of us have experienced the same things in our lives, and we wanted to know more about God ourselves.
Yeah.
But it was a journey. We were all on a journey. Isn't that right, Steve?
Absolutely.
And that journey brought us to a point where, you know what? I want to meet the Father.
That's right.
I want to meet Father God. And so some of us have shared our stories. You know, a lot of it's not pretty, but what is? But what it truly is, it's real.
Mm.
And if you're looking for a story, a real life story that would help encourage you, I want to ask you to find out more at meetmyfather.org, where real people have gone through real things to find the real Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I mean, you look what's happening. The Christian Kurds are being persecuted. Christians, pastors are being imprisoned all over the world now under the Islamic nations that has the caliphate. And Iran right now has Pastor Saeed locked down, amongst other ones, but we're focusing on Pastor Saeed. And he's been being brutalized, trying to get him to force, you know, we're all this persecution of the Jews and the Christian, JJ, we talk about, and you can find about that on the VFN Torch, is taking place in the world. And it's like, we're just deathly silent. We're talking statements like, you know, Islam is a peaceful religion, and we just need to all get along, and we're removing their forms of government that is doing these things to the Christians and the Jews. The Islamic form of government, which is caliphate-type government with their supreme leaders, we're removing the even knowledge of that reality from our libraries, and we are, at the same time, the church is being persecuted by the concept and by their traditions. And, hey, it's not going to be good for us if we don't turn around. And this is a I'm glad this happened, what I'm about to share with you. Mm-hmm. But this is a sign. This is a sign. When our current president won't even stand up for Christians being beheaded. Mm. Priests are having their hair pulled out, reportedly. One priest, they could not pull his hair out, so they scalped him. Mm. They are... burning down churches. They are kidnapping Christian women and raping them and trying to force them, as if you could, to convert to Islam. But they're cool. They're cool with that kind of concept.
Right.
And forcing people who are non-believers, in reported by the Voice of Martyrs, to pay the tax for being in servitude to Islam. And it's kind of silent. I mean, look how silent the world is about Israel right now when you look at the Arab League run-up. But this, listen, this is who's standing up for us. Now, Tim Tebow, he is a football player, and he professes to have an awesome love for God and has helped out with orphanages in the Philippines. His parents have been missionaries, and he was missionaries with his parents, and he's always wanted to play football. So he started playing football with the Florida Gators, mm-hmm. and single-handedly almost. These other players are almost like fodder around him. And, you know, despite whatever they did, he would just push the ball over the line, right? Am I not? Am I sorry?
No, he was very aggressive.
Right, until he just kind of fell out once and started shaking. Anyway, so I mean, he's just a strong bull of a man in regards to just I actually have a video of his workout and all what he does, how he motivates the team and all, just to remind me of what a wimp that I am. I'm like, if he can do that, I can do this. Dear God, you know. And so, wow, my goodness. And so, it's scary times. Did you hear that?
Rare.
Yeah. So,
wow. Step on a cat. What was that?
Did you mind doing something to that thing? And the thing? Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And so, what now we have right now, you're not going to believe this. And so, of course, he went to go play for the Florida Gators, and you can only go to college for so long. And unlike me, I can go to college for 20 years and still not. I mean, he had this four or whatever.
All right.
And then he wanted to get into the NFL, which is, for all the non-football fans out there, it's National Football League. And they didn't want him. I mean, you would think it would have been the first draft pick because his bold stand for God. Mm-hmm. His bold stand for God. And so somehow, you know, many are the plans of a man's heart, but it's the Lord's plans that prevail. God put him a mile high. Put him a mile high in the sky, mm-hmm. with the Denver Broncos. They got him on. Mm-hmm. Denver. Think about it. Now, the high place in America had a man who loves God, who is known not for his... He's actually known for not passing like everybody else. You know, that's kind of how God does. He uses people who just don't do things like everybody else, right. But it still works out.
Yeah.
And so they put him on as a quarterback against the... Was it the owner or the coaches? The coaches. One of the leaders on the Denver Broncos... didn't really want Tim Tebow there, reportedly.
Yeah,
and
the general manager.
Yeah, but the owner did, I think. And right. And of course, boom, I mean, he started winning games.
Yep.
He's a mile high up, and he's falling to his knees and honoring God. And it's called the Tim Tebow, right?
The Tebow, yeah.
Where you just get down on one knee, and he could stay on his knee longer. My knee would start hurting. I had to get up. No, he would get on the knee, and he would just, you know, just honor God, pray, and thank God. So he was a mile high up, the high place in America. God took him right to the high place. And immediately, the darkness wanted to take him out of the high place because all this attention now is going beyond the Valley of Gods in Denver that they talk about. You know, you got now a mile high,
wow.
where Jesus is being exalted over all those false gods. And it's like, we got to take him down. So all these dark folks who have lots of sold out money, mm-hmm. you know, that's not a big deal. Just just start buying and trading and moving. And next thing you know, if we could just, we just promote him to a place and snuff this light out, you know? And next thing you know, I'm at Denver. He did Denver good. Did he not?
Yeah.
He did Denver
took him
good.
To the playoffs.
I mean, who would, you would know better than me, because you know what a bad team is and you know what a good team is. And,
there's something in the studio. I don't know what that is.
I don't know.
It's noise.
We got to get some bait. Anyway, so, it was, so then the no, and so, and then they take him course to New York, right?
Yep.
The New York
Jets,
and but he just disappears.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't play him. The quarterback was Sanchez. You have to get on the mic for them to actually hear that. That was John's lips moving. Sanchez. And of course, he was a good. He's a good quarterback. You know, when somebody puts you behind Jesus and say you're next, you're gonna be the next one preaching. Just go ahead and make yourself at home, because you're not gonna need to replace place. And this, I'm not saying it's Jesus. I'm just saying that somebody's really high quality. They're trying to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you are real high quality and they put somebody behind you they really want, you better start watching out, because all of a sudden one of the saints might come up there and break your leg. Reportedly, I'm not sure.
Allegedly.
Listen, this is what they said was, I had a bag on my head. I couldn't see where I was going. So listen. This is so now he was in New York, you know, and it's like, great, my poster's shot. I got a Gator poster, I got a Denver Bronco poster, and now I have a Jets poster. It's like, what do I do here? You know? No, I was just messing with you.
Didn't have time to get a Patriots poster.
You're just like, put his uniform on the green screen. We can just change his uniform as we go along. And this is for all the media fans out there. And so then now they traded him to
New England,
but I don't even know if they're even gonna keep
him. No,
they already cut him.
They cut him.
Man. Ain't that something?
The life of an NFL football player.
You know, the owner wanted him so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Even after they cut him, he says, I really wish he would have been able to make the team.
The owner.
Kraft.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
That's sort of like the president sending a hitman to fire you, and one of his people, when he's coming up after he sent the man to, he's the owner.
Yeah, well, you got a coach. I mean, you can't override the coach. The coach, that's why you're paying the coach and make those decisions.
What do you say to all the coaches that the owner's fired? What do you say to those guys?
Mm. Mm.
Silence. Okay. So,
hey.
You know, well, so then who's standing up? I mean, who's standing up for Christians? Obviously, you know, I know that the name Christian does pass the lips of our present leadership, but fruit doesn't, you know, in Congress and in D.C. It's not a lot of fruit. And at the same time, we're promoting Islam. We default to, oh, yeah, and Christianity. You have to understand they're the antithesis of each other. So to promote Islam, which says that Muhammad's the prophet and that Jesus is not the son of God. He's a prophet that has to come back and apologize for calling himself the son of God and insists the Mahi or whoever this is going to come out of this hole in the ground in Mecca, right?
Yeah.
Wow. So, I mean, you have to understand, because of our ignorance, we can actually buy into a narrative that you're actually promoting one or the other. The reason why Pastor Saeed, by the way, is in prison is because he did not deny Jesus Christ as the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't accept Muhammad as a prophet and Jesus as the Son of God at the same time, because a prophet is a person sent by God who hears what God says and delivers it to you. Well, then that means you have true prophets and you have false prophets. And, you know, Church of Thyatira, God even talks about that, and over again, God talks about it. Well, if a prophet is saying Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, that's a prophet, all right, but it's not God's prophet.
Mm-mm.
And so to accept Muhammad's word and the Quran as of God, then the concept, what I understand is that it would be to deny Jesus Christ. And so he's stuck in a quagmire. It's like, my loyalty is to Jesus. I'm not going to deny Jesus. And he's in jail right now.
Mm-hmm.
But what are we doing? What are we doing? I mean, you think about this. When all the Arab Spring was going on, which resulted in Muslim Brotherhood leadership, right, and Islamic leadership and the rise of Islam, if you would, which means,
you know, more prominent places of leadership, even all the way to the presidency, President Morsi of Egypt, and the push that's going on for Syria right now. I mean, who's standing up for us? You know, who's standing up for Christians? And you're not going to believe this, that when we're talking about Tim Tebow, there was a music group years ago called Kiss, and the leader of the group, or I guess one of the leaders, I don't know, his name is Gene Simmons, and he's talking about Tim Tebow, and he stands up and defends him. He defends
Gene Simmons, the Kiss, yeah, black and white mask.
Yeah, demonic,
yes,
devil worship. Yeah,
yes,
yeah, but he's an American, I guess. You know, it's obviously because he says, "Listen, you know, he's defending Tim Tebow here," and I'm reading it. I'll give you the source. I think it's radio.com. Is he's got a religious passion. Now, this is Gene Simmons of the music group Kiss. Right. Talking about this persecution of Tim Tebow for just being a Christian. It's all he's doing. I mean, his work ethic is one that I put in front of me because I want to be able to work hard, at least somewhat of what he's able to do. But this is what Gene Simmons says in defense of Christians, in defense of Tim Tebow. He's got a religious passion as well. He should. He's in America, Simmons told radio.com this week. He's proud to be a Christian. What's wrong with that?
Gene Simmons.
Oh, my goodness.
Gene Simmons.
And yet, with sports media and pop culture media, they make fun of his religion? Mm. Really? Is this America? In America? Think about it. He says, if he was wearing a burqa, they would dare say anything.
Wow.
But if you're a Christian, you get to be picked on. What the? Oh, I can't say that. Think about it. This is a American who understands what's going on right here. Think about that. And this the church should be, you know, wake up. He goes on and says, this guy's got family values. I never saw the media pick up on Michael Vick. He says, I never saw the media picking on Michael Vick for torturing dogs. Mm. Think about it. Mm. Or this over football players who allegedly have committed murder. That's cool. But a guy who's religious and has got family values isn't cool? He's cool to me.
Wow.
Amazing.
This is Gene Simmons. This is Gene Simmons. Think about it. And we're not even concerned about it. We're not even concerned about what's going on. Thank you, Gene. Thank you, fellow American. Thank you for remembering that the press did not go after Michael Vick, who gambled with the lives of dogs and had them die in the fights, or didn't even go after a football player who allegedly has committed murder. Mm-hmm. But we're going after a young man who loves God, who helps out an orphanage in the Philippines, who openly bows down before Jesus Christ and acknowledges him as Lord, and loves playing football. That's a sign, church. Mm. That's a sign when we go after somebody like Tim Tebow, while we don't even say anything about Pastor Saeed in Iran. At the same time, both of them are being gone after. Guess what? We are them. We are Pastor Saeed. We are Tim Tebow. We are. That's us.
Yeah.
And if we're going to sit silent, when Israel's totally surrounded like this, totally surrounded, this small little nation, but watch out, don't mess with her, but we're going to sit silent while people threaten her, don't bring her up, don't say anything, while the rise of Islam gets bigger and taller, and stronger, more integrated into culture, and caliphates or the Quran becomes more instituted amongst these nations that we partner with, listen, you've got, we'll be talking more about it in the future, but you've got to understand it matters who you partner with. And right now, America's partnered with Satan.
No doubt.
Yeah.
We've embraced Satan. Our leadership has, in the name of religion. And we've embraced the anti-Jesus Christ as Son of God religion, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have Gene Simmons. I mean, think about this. Gene Simmons is the very one who's standing up. Is the very one that's standing up for Christians. Why? Nobody else is standing. They're attacking Christians and imprisoning Christians. Mm-hmm. And not even bringing up the fact that Israel's being surrounded right now. Listen, when it takes Gene Simmons to speak truth, and I'm thankful for you, Gene Simmons, thank you very much, then when he can see it as plain as day in America, and the church can't even see it, we're in trouble. That means we are in deep, deep darkness. But not to top that off, I'm sitting here looking at... when I get back from a break, I'm going to tell you that not only is KISS and Gene Simmons standing up for us, but now the only other person that I see publicly standing up for us is the king of Gog and Magog, Vladimir Putin, president of Russia. Come on. We're talking about the fact that Christians now and Jews, nobody's standing up for them in the midst of what's happening right now. Now what you're seeing is who's going to stand up for America?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to stand up for America? And Gene Simmons now. Who is a Jew, and he stands up for Israel, standing up for Christian Americans, Tim Tebow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it may have presented it in a way that seems kind of, you know, light, but it's not light. It's just trying to tell you, this is not good. And then when we find out who's standing up for the Christians, when our president and Congress and standing up for a biblical Christian, for Puritans, I guess you would say, people who look at the Word of God in a pure way and try in view of God's mercy and because of His grace to walk in that way with all the mistakes and things that happen in our lives. Well, you look at when the New York Times printed an opt-ad from President Putin, the president of Gog and Magog, and he's standing up.
Mm.
He's standing up for Christians. And, I mean, obviously, he's just verbally saying it because you know, our leadership is not.
Right.
But it was reported that Vladimir Putin defends Christians, you know, and he said on August the 1st, he says, Vladimir Putin has urged the world's political leaders to stop the violent persecution against Christians that have erupted in the Middle Eastern countries. Understand that he's been a supporter of all this for a long, long time. He's even killed his own folks under KGB as a KGB. But you understand, but at least he's, you know, I mean, this is bad when Gog and Magog standing up for you. It goes on to say that
this is a sign. This is a
huge sign. Remember, we just talked about that, you know, all the nations lined up under Gog and Magog under President Putin last week. And the church is, you know, brighter for it. We didn't understand, you know, what happened. We did. If you're listening to EFN Radio, we're telling you. And he keeps on talking about it. He's always been there with King Assad. And he says, the adoption of Christianity became a turning point faith for the fatherland. And he even talks about God. He even talks about, you know, we're all God's children or whatever. I'm like, come on. But you know what? I tell you, when Dennis Rodman is the next one that shows up, you
that's
know,
it. That's what's going on.
That's what's going on. You know, people are seeing it as an opportunity to promote themselves. And when we are the anomaly that people are trying to, that's being persecuted so people can get recognized, we're standing by the person in the arena about to fight for their life. Understand, we've got to turn to God. We've got to turn to God.
Oh my goodness, aunties. Listen, if you're looking for some barbecue, you got to go get some ribs, some pulled pork, and so much more. In Cantonment, you don't want to miss it. Highway 29th and go north and let your nose lead you the way. The $50 Eye Guy, where they have everything from wrecks to specs. If you want to visit them today, they're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit the $50 Eye Guy today so you can see. AB Mobile Mechanics, fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps, on-site repair all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Jesus said, "You know them by their fruit." That's the only way we can really tell who we really are. And then he even tells us, apart from abiding in him, we can't even bear that fruit. Listen to Francis Chan, the author of Crazy Love and leader of and founder of Multiply Movement, share this exact thing. We are known by our fruit.
You know, the fruit will show. You know, if the tree's for real, it's going to bear fruit.
Yeah.
You'll see the action, but we want to make those statements and we're not following up and we're deceiving ourselves. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, how James talks about how we can be hearers of the word, but not doers. And so we're deceiving ourselves because we're listening and amen, 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 but we're not doing it. Mm. And you know, Satan is the father of lies. He loves deception. Mm. He loves to deceive people. But I think in a lot of ways, he's very happy with what he sees in a lot of gatherings because they're like, I don't even need to work there. Mm. They're deceiving themselves. Mm-hmm. They're going there, you know, hearing a message, amening it and not doing it. They're deceiving themselves. Mm. I think Satan's actually very pleased. I want to be careful with it. I mean, based on what I see in Scripture, I think there are times when he's pleased that the Word of God is preached and not obeyed, and that deception is going on, because that's his MO. That's what he loves to do. Mm. He loves to deceive. And so if there's a bunch of people thinking they're following God because they're going, oh, yeah, I heard a really tough message by David Platt the other day. You know, I heard this. I got so convicted, I walked away. I even walked away sad. Me and my friends, we even cried. You know, it's just like this, we did it. And I really think the enemy is going, oh, this is great. Hmm. This is great. They're not, when Jesus was about repent, like, let me see you turn. John the Baptist, repent, let me see you turn. Peter, repent. Mm-hmm. You know, it's turn, and we're all about feel bad, make a grand statement. Mm-hmm. And I think Satan's actually pleased with that.
You're listening to Francis Chan, author of Crazy Love and Multiply Movement. You can find it at multiplymovement.com. Listen, you need to be fruitful. We are known by our fruit. It's going to be a fruit inspection time at the throne room of God, because it's not that we're not earning our salvation. The very fact that we are saved, we are fruitful. Listen, if you want to be fruitful today, begin to make this Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you haven't yet done that, go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories and how to do that. Then begin to abide with him and be his disciple. And we have a plan for you, a simple plan for you. Right now, free. Just go and request it at iabide.org. iabide.org. Eternity weighs in the balance. Your eternity.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Imagine you're in this room, and it's just a regular room that has a door on it. And on the other side of that door, God is on the other side of that door. Provision is on the other side of that door. Forgiveness is on the other side of that door. I mean, everything, just the ebb and flow of a fruitful, joy-filled, blessed life is on the other side of that door. And if you knew this, and you were going through, in your room, you're going through your daily life, all the things that happen, the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows, but you're doing it outside of God. But then on the other side of that door, you know God is there. And people told you who's on the other side of that door. And all you can do is imagine it, because even though they say that you've heard from God and that was God speaking to you, you don't have yet a grid that that was God yet. You don't know it. You will one day. By the way, if the door opens for you, you'll know everything. You'll see God from the beginning of your life and how he was involved in it. But you don't know that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine that. Imagine that here you are living your life in this room. You have a family, or you don't have a family. You have a job. You're living your life. You're going to work. You're living whatever. But you know it's hurting. You know, you're trying to figure things out. You know, on the outside, you know, you're all whatever. But the inside, you know, you're terrified. You don't know how tomorrow you're going to make it. Everything is a threat to you. Maybe you're reacting out of anger to hold people back from possibly taking you down. Or maybe it's, you know, you just put a smile on your face, but inside you, your heart is just shattered and it's broken. Whatever, you know, you're alone.
Mm.
Even though you're with people in your life, in your room, you're alone.
Mm-hmm.
But you know there's this door. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, there's been times when you know, proverbially, you try to cover up the door. You painted it the same color as the room, your life, so you kind of camouflaged it. You kind of moved the furniture around where you didn't even pay attention to it, but that door was always there. I mean, it was just always there. And every time you think you pretty well forgotten about that door and what's on the other side, you bump into somebody else that's opened the door in their life. And they start telling you what they've experienced. And you think, well, I've just got to know, but what's it going to cost me? I mean, if I open that door, I mean, this is my life. I can figure this out. I mean, granted, you know, I live a treacherous life on the inside, although outside I tell myself it's okay. And I just kind of blinded. I'm in this rut, which is a grave with both ends kicked out, just doing the same thing over and over again. And not refusing to ask myself the question, why am I doing what I'm doing? Because I'm scared I'll answer it. And it's like, there's no meaning to it.
Mm-hmm.
But every time I went to the coffee shop and somebody began to tell me, you know, man, I was in this room and you know, for 25 years of my life, you know, I just totally, my parents was in a room like that. And they told me that they walked through that door, opened it a long time ago. And the things on the other side of this door, I'm like, wow, that sounds good. But I was wondering, can I still have what's in my life now and have what's on the other side of that door? I mean, it's just like, let's make a deal where I can only have door number one or door number two or room number one and room number two. But if everything that I need is on the other side of that door, everywhere I go, people are telling me about it. Mm. And I'm telling you about it right now. I mean, you could do what you want to, but you know, even when you sleep at night, you hear the proverbial statement, the door's still there. And the interesting thing is, it's like somebody's knocking on it. It's like somebody's knocking on that door. And you're thinking, you know, if that knocking would quit, I could forget about this door. And whatever it is, I don't know what it is, but hey, you know, I'm living my life without whatever's over there now, right now. And it just, I just can't grasp. And besides, look at all the things I've done. God, you know, if I open that door, you know, man, I don't think God would even invite me in because of all the things I've done in my life. All the you know, it's just bad. I mean, I hear about God and all them holy people and stuff, and he wouldn't want anything to do with me. And I can't deal with all that rejection. I couldn't think about me open the door and everybody else has this wonderful life
with God on this other side of the door, and everything's being met. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Talking about texting, and we just thought about some very interesting things is that you actually could text somebody and then you could blame it on Siri. So I'm just going to vent for a moment, you know, because everybody's going to think, like, you did that on purpose. No, really. I can actually look at my phone, type, and especially because what happens is when you get a new phone, it takes a while for Snowden to get all your data together. Or it moves, it kind of learns you, I guess, or something like that. And it takes a while for those numbers to get in their proper order. And because I had three new phones. Three new phones right close together.
Oh, that's right.
I had the one phone that took a swim for 10 seconds.
Double
and I didn't know it couldn't swim. And then I had another phone. It was a refurbished phone from my warranty. And Apple sends me, this is a better phone than the ones you buy from the store because it's gone through everything. It's been checked really good. And I go, it didn't work.
Yeah.
How can that be better?
The same conversation.
The other one worked
them.
For years. The other one for years. It's like better. He said, well, we're going to send you another one that's better than the new one things. And that's the one that Siri's acting all up. She don't know me yet. She don't know me yet.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, oh my goodness. I think it's our Southern draw. I think it's our Southern draw. That we got to you know, really enunciate our words and speak more like John Tournament.
Tournament.
The statistics tell us that.
And then the lightning hits you and it's all over.
I focus on that word now. I focus.
I
listen every time.
And I was even, I don't know if y'all noticed that, when I said wrestling,
thank
and then
you.
Wrestling.
You're still working on mill, but that's okay. Still working on that one.
Which one?
Mill. Instead of a meal, mill.
Oh, mill.
Mill. Mill. He's like, oh, I didn't
are
know
you
about
calling
that
me
one.
Heavy? Are you calling me heavy? What are you talking about? A mill? Where does that come from? I know I'm retaining a little for today. Jiminy crickets. Like the mill, M-E-A-L?
Yes, M-E-A-L. Meal.
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 How do I say it?
Mill. You never notice that.
Well, let me tell you how Southerners normally talk. This is how Southerners normally talk.
Yeah.
No Jew. Nope. Don't do. And I'll tell you what that was did you eat yet?
Yeah.
And the other one responded back, nope. Do you want to eat? And the other one goes by, yes. Let's go to Cracker Barrel. That's what that meant. But it kind of goes like this. Cheat. Nope. Don't do. I that was the final thing. And that means we're going to have biscuits with the gravy as a Cracker Barrel. So we can say we've come a long way.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
We're trying to enunciate things.
We're sophisticated now.
Oh.
Sophisticated. Oh, my goodness. God uses the things that are not to nullify the things that are.
No
and
doubt.
I have you know, as long as the Bubba Show is going across the world,
exactly,
we are in there. We are totally in there.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. But there's still a knocking at the door. There's a knocking at that door. I can't go away. And imagine everything that you would ever need, they tell you, everything that you would need, everything that you, the very one that created the room that you're in and created you, that gives you the very air that you breathe, is still kindly on the other side of that door. Not going to come through that door unless you put your hands on it and you open it up. I mean, he put the door there. Because prior, there used to be a time, you have to understand, when people were in a room like you're in, but there was no door, there was no way out. I mean, you were just stuck. That was it. You know, you live, you die, that's it. You know, because of all the things that darkness does to our life, sin does to our life. There was no door at all. But now, what he did was, God had, he brought in a construction crew, and he says, listen, I want those who want to open a door to have access to me. I want them to have access to me. It's going to be the same way. I'm not going to, you know, push my way into their life or anything, because I want a relationship with them. But I want a door that will be openable, that they can open to come if they choose to. If they choose to, they can come open that door, and then we can be together. Yeah, and now, you know what? I want a way where, when, because of all the darkness and all the sin, I want to be able to, when they come through that door, I want them to be able to be totally like brand new, you know, like, I'm just, not only do I want to make sure they're the wrongs and the sin and the, you know, the greed, the loss, the relationships, the whatever, the deep things in your life and heart, that I don't want that to be on. I just want to forgive them of that and remove that from their life. And I'm not even going to remember it. When they come through this door, I'm not even going to remember it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be like a bridegroom carrying a bride over a threshold. I'm just going to be like, oh, look who's here. That's the kind of door I want. I want a door like that, that it's not a magical door. It's a miracle door.
Mm.
And when you walk through this door, this is what God's, I installed this door. And when you walk through this door, it's going to be like night and day. I don't know if you've ever seen, sometimes they do things in movies where it's black and white on a movie, and then they walk through this doorway and they colorize the movie on the other side. And they walk back to the door, and it's kind of like that. Mm. We got this black and white life going on in your life now inside this room. But if you open that door, God's going to bring color to your life and meaning to your life and destiny to your life. And he's going to restore things that dark life, dark room is taken away from you. I mean, he put a door in. But no matter what you do, I know you tell people you're all right. You tell people you're okay. But at night, you're just hearing this. And it just won't get away, does it? It just keeps on happening. Mm. You know who that is knocking on the door of your heart? It's God. Think about it. He could blow that thing off the hinges.
Mm-hmm.
He could blow it off the hinges. He could blow it off the hinges. But you know what? This is the whole thing. He loves you so much. If he did blow it off the hinges because of your sin, you'd have to be blown away too. This door is so significant that it has to be used. As a matter of fact, it's the only access to him. But he designed a specific door that if you walk through this miracle door, then supernaturally, because of the design of this door, by the way, that has blood over its doorpost, when you walk through this door, this gateway, this door, that's the only way, but you can walk in and be in the presence of God, and you won't be blown away, and the door won't be blown away. I mean, if he snatched the door off, his very presence would destroy you because he's holy. But understand this, if there was a way that you could get in his presence and get the fullness of who he is, the blessing, the love, the provision, the awesomeness of who he is, and not die, that'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
But how can I get through it? And what is the store? And I'm going to go to bed, and all of a sudden it's... Yeah, you tell everybody you're not paying attention. You tell everybody you're not a part of it, but you know, you hear it every single night. You can't even pass a Bible without hearing. You can't even pass the pastor without hearing. That Christian in the coffee shop at the Starbucks is like, I just wanted a Frappuccino. And it's like, but that's God knocking on the door that he established. There was no door prior to this door being established, which means you can access God. You can walk through this door, and it's the only way to him. And that door, let me tell you who that door is. That door is Jesus Christ. There was no way to him. There was no way to him. There's no way to deal with the things that's in our life outside of this doorway being established. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born all man, all God. walked as we walk, yet without sin. And he, God, at just the right time, built this door. At just the right time, they talk about in the letter that Paul had written to this crew in Rome. Yeah, you know, we always, you know, it's, we call it the Book of Rome, but it's the people that was in Rome, and he was writing them a letter. He said, at just the right time, God built this door. At just the right time, God offered up his son as a sacrifice, the blood that had to be applied to the door. And as soon as Jesus got on that cross, willingly allowing them to put him on the cross, he was paying the price that everything that we did in the dark room so we could have access to the light room. And we could walk through that door of Jesus. And as soon as he died, the veil in the temple that divided man from God, the dividing wall that divided man from God, it split from the top to the bottom. I don't know, 30 feet high or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It just ripped. Why? Because that was the moment that God installed the door. But the thing is this. This is the thing. He can't snatch it off. If he snatches it off and his presence manifests in your life without you coming through the door and having the blood of God over the doorpost of your heart, you get judged. He does. That's not what he wants. He wants you to be forgiven. He wants you to be cleansed. He wants to restore you. But the doorway, Jesus Christ, is the only way. So don't live in this dark room anymore. Understand, he knows what's going on in your life. That's why he established the door. And that's why, by the way, that's why he actually didn't have a door before Jesus, because man would have been destroyed then. But he provided a doorway now for us to get into the room of light, the room of provision, enlightenment. And understand, everything inside of you says this can't work. And that's why you're living in that dark room. But there's something supernatural is going to happen to you when you walk through that door, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Something's going to happen to you the way that you think and the way that you feel, because you're going to be forgiven. You're going to be restored. You're going to be called a son and a daughter of God. You're going to be a part of the family of God. And he's going to say, enter in. I've been waiting for you. Thank you for opening the door. Thank you for accepting my son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior. Enter into your reward.
You scrub a pup in Mary Esther, right across from the Santa Rosa Mall, where we offer three levels of service for all of your dog washing needs. Shampoos, afterbath doggy colognes, lots of treats and belly rubs, and so much more. Bring your dog in today. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. Mark Downey & Associates is a unique real estate firm that specializes in property management and high-end home sales. The secret to the success of this multi-award-winning firm is simple: aggressive marketing and intense passion for serving others. If you're looking for a team of professionals that ensures the total satisfaction of their clients, contact Mark Downey's team today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.